This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. This has been a big year for local soccer fans with a new United Soccer League team in town. FC Cincinnati has been holding matches at Nippert Stadium since March, and the games have attracted big crowds, and there are already more than three active supporters groups for the club. And joining us to talk about soccer and FC Cincinnati, our founder of soccer blog, Scratching the Pitch, Chad Hollingsworth, WVXU reporter and digital news editor Tana Weingartner, and we hope to be joined shortly by Cincinnati Inquirer contributor Charlie Hatch. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And oh, Charlie is there. So hi, Charlie, and Chad and Tana, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
So how was FC Cincinnati formed, Chad? Who's been involved in putting this team together?
Well, I think the idea was the genesis of General Manager Jeff Birding, who was determined to bring a professional soccer club to Cincinnati. And, you know, he got hooked up with the Lindner family and their resources and were able to put something together, struck an agreement with United Soccer Leagues, and the team was born.
So what is the United Soccer League, Chad? What level of soccer is this? Where does it fit into soccer's hierarchy?
Here in America, we've got three divisions of professional soccer that are sanctioned by the United States Soccer Federation. And USL currently sits at the third level behind MLS and NASL. But USL has applied, I believe, for second division status.
That is correct.
So we are waiting to hear that decision.
Charlie, what about the players? Where do the players on the team come from?
So you have a variety of multiple things. I mean, some people are notable just around the area. So Austin Berry played at Summit. He played in MLS a little bit. Then you have a couple guys that played in, you know, USL previously, a couple people who've played at NASL level. But overwhelmingly, the team does have a lot of experience, and it shows. I think they have 11 guys with experience playing in higher levels than the USL League, and as a result, they're oftentimes considered the big team with all the big names as opposed to their opponents.
So who are the players on the team that we should keep an eye on?
Well,
so
yeah, go ahead, Charlie.
Go ahead, Chad.
Oh, okay.
I think everybody has an opinion about their favorite players to watch.
Akoli,
let's hear
of course.
From all of you.
You know, your center striker, that's where I would start.
Yeah, Sean is in the top of the league with 7 goals on the season so far, and he's the team leader, so you can't ignore that. But, you know, there's not been a lot of variance in the starting 11 from the beginning of the season, and I think all of the guys who've played minutes are worth watching. Harrison Delbridge, in particular, at center back, is a tall Australian guy who's become known for lacerating his face and head on the field. And he's been really tough back there at center back, so you need to keep an eye on him. A guy like Corbin Bone, who comes to Cincinnati from the Wilmington Hammerheads the previous year, has been a great facilitator. And then Jimmy McLaughlin's been great as a winger, just really putting in the hustle and facilitating plays and being hard-nosed and scoring some tough goals of his own.
Well, and the goalkeeper, too, has really kept them in a lot of the games and has become a bit of a fan favorite.
Yeah, Mitch says no.
Yeah.
Mitch says no, yeah.
Mitch says no. And Charlie, who do you... is this pretty much your list, or do you have some other players you keep an eye on too?
No, yeah, that I would say that's it, really. And Mitch is, I don't know if he's a fan favorite, but it does seem like everyone loves him. There'll be times when people will shoot and it won't even, you know, go anywhere directly close to the goal, and fans will still say Mitch says no. So, little crowd favorite. It seems like he's well liked, and he's always really cool after the game. So we'll run over to the Bailey, the rowdy section in Nippert Stadium, and, you know, he'll do a little, I don't really know how you call it, he just kind of puts his arms up and says yes back up and down, but he gets a good response.
And tell us some more about the atmosphere of the games. For those of us who haven't seen it, what's the atmosphere like?
Well, for me, the atmosphere is part of what makes soccer so great. It's the pageantry and the raucous support of the most hardcore supporters. You know, they're in the... the open end of the shoe there at Nippert is where the general admission seats are, and that's where most of the supporters groups sit. And, you know, they march into the stadium. They've got their drums. They're constantly chanting. They have the orange and blue smoke, and they've got the flags and the pregame signs. It's marvelous. It really elevates it from just being a sporting contest to an event that people want to come and be a part of.
And the fans have really been, they're educated is, I guess, the word that a lot of people have been using. You go and you watch. It's not, say anything bad about baseball or anything, but you go and you sit and you talk to other people and you maybe watch the game. Everybody at the games is really paying attention to what's going on the field. It's all a collective excitement or a collective, you know, letdown if a shot goes wide, that kind of thing. Everybody's really knowledgeable about what they're watching and they're into what they're seeing.
I think the biggest thing, too, feeding off of both of those, is there is the educated sense and then the atmosphere, but you also have the scenario where it seems all-inclusive. So if you have people that stand in the, as a supporters group, or stand in the Bailey, you know, they light smoke bombs and have scarves. Well, across the side you have, you know, just families of little kids, or you might have, like my grandma is 80 years old, and she's obsessed with going to the games. But she... you know, she still has a place there. It's not, and she's welcome just like anybody else would be. Then you have the college kids and people who've grown up playing all their lives. So to see that big mix is really nice, especially when I was the media intern for the Saints last year, and they were considered fourth tier U.S. soccer, and they would have about 250 people show up. So to see this rapid growth from that to averaging 15,000 people is just mind blowing.
Well, what's been the record so far? They're averaging 15,000, but what's been the largest number they've drawn?
It was a few over 23,000.
23,300, I think.
Wow.
Which is way more than what most Major League Soccer teams pulling.
Yeah, I think the average for MLS is about 21,500 is what I saw.
That might even be high for MLS.
Yeah. Yeah. That was last year's average, oh, so okay. It might be.
And last I saw, FC Cincinnati was drawing more than six MLS teams.
And then I think the Reds were around 21,000, so that's their average. So that's
holding
impressive.
They're
holding their own in town for sure. Well,
yeah, and the USL average is 3,369 last year. So to give you an idea, they're doing almost five times what any other team in the league is actually doing.
Joining us now on the phone is FC Cincinnati president and general manager Jeff Birding. Good afternoon, Jeff. How are you?
Hi, Mark.
Jeff, you spent a lot of time working with the Bengals, and I'm wondering what the transition has been like for you as far as how all your work with the Bengals has translated into running FC Cincinnati.
Well, I had 19 great years at the Bengals, and I think the biggest thing has been that the NFL is so enormous. Everything about it is on a very large scale. It's such an entertainment, event. Just the production that goes into every game. I think when we were planning FC Cincinnati, I guess my thoughts were go big or go home, you know, don't do it. And so from having all of our games on TV, putting the tarps up to shrink the stadium a little bit and create some brand identity within Nippert, building the relationships and creating the Bailey so that the supporters would have their own area. I mean, the training facility that we've put together at Nippert, the budget, frankly, the player payroll, all of that's been based on sort of my experiences with the Bengals. So if you're going to do this, do it at the top level. And fortunately, we have the ownership group with Carl Linder and Scott Farmer and others that gave us the resources to back up the plan. And obviously, it's gone better than anyone expected.
Now, you know, there's a pretty long list of soccer teams that have come and gone in Cincinnati. I think I counted 10 that have failed over the years, from the Comets to the Dutch Lions. So, Jeff, what in your mind makes you think that this team's going to be viable? What makes you think it's going to stick?
Well, I think the timing's just different, first of all. I mean, there's been, you know, 50 years of youth soccer in this community. And, you know, you have grandparents that have now played and they're coming to the game. And, of course, parents and youth soccer. So the youth soccer community has always been strong, but there's never been an outfit, you know, backed by Carl Linder, games at Nippert Stadium, coached by John Harks. I also think just the timing is right. Cincinnati's on the rise. Cincinnati is on the rise nationally. We're one of the top five cities in the country for college grads, for millennials, for entrepreneurs, for startups. And soccer is a progressive sport. Soccer is a way that millennials and young people connect their sports passion with the rest of the world. And, you know, I don't know that when if Cincinnati wasn't on the rise right now with millennial, maybe the timing wouldn't be right. But I was convinced from, and this really goes back to my city council days, that Cincinnati was on the rise and that this was the perfect time to launch this. We understood there'd be a competition in the MLS down the road for expansion. We felt like we had to get in and get in right now and make our mark as a top soccer community here in the United States to have the opportunity to achieve our goals. And we have zero doubt, and we have the ownership to back us up that all we're going to do is we're going to continue to grow.
So you think this early success is sustainable?
I don't think there's any question. We won't be getting smaller. We'll be getting bigger. Wait till we get towards the postseason, and then it's a whole new season. And if we're able to make some noise in the postseason, we think this town will be going crazy.
Now, I take it that is one of your goals to get this team to the MLS level?
Mark, ultimately, that's the goal. I think Carl Lindner said from day one, we want to bring professional soccer to the at the highest level to Cincinnati. And in our country, MLS is the highest level. Cincinnati, we're a big league sports town, you know, be it MLB or the NFL. And so ultimately, that's the goal. We play in an aspirational league in the USL. There's teams that are in the MLS right now that started, many teams that started in our league, most recently Orlando City. And so we're very happy. It's a great league with great soccer. All our matches have been competitive and I think seeing really good soccer. But ultimately, you know, it's an aspirational league and we'd like to go to the next level. We're not too far ahead of ourselves. We know that we have to continue to prove day in and day out that this is a big league soccer market.
So what do you need to do to move to the MLS? How do you get to that next level?
Well, continue to draw the crowds we're drawing. Season tickets is an enormous part of it because it shows sustainability. You know, continue to play winning soccer, good soccer. Obviously, we have a great ownership group. We're going to make some additional enhancements at Nippert Stadium after the upcoming UC football season. That'll continue to improve Nippert as a pro soccer facility. But ultimately, there will be a process that the MLS goes through. And I think we've said pretty consistently this year, our goal was just to make sure that Cincinnati maybe became part of the conversation. And before we launched, you know, Cincinnati, Ohio was not considered a potential MLS expansion city. We are now. And I think that was our goal for this year. And we just have to continue to build and grow.
Do you have a date in mind as to when you'd like to see this happen?
No, the MLS has their own timeline, and they're going to go through this process, and we look forward to contributing to that process as best we can as we're invited. And they've announced that they're going to add a couple more teams to go from 20 to 24 here over the next 3 years, and then additional expansion markets will be added after. So we know that they plan to go to 28, and there's a host of cities after they get to 24 that have been mentioned. Cincinnati's now being mentioned, and that's quite an achievement for the first year. Orlando City launched in the USL in 2010, and by 2015, they were playing in the MLS. So that's a five-year process, and we launched in 2015 with the announcement. We started playing in 2016. You know, if we could do something by 2020, I think that would be great, but maybe that's a little ambitious. And again, we'll just see how the MLS times things out, and we're going to put our best foot forward because we think that Cincinnati's a pro soccer market, and we think our crowds are proving that.
So are you staying with your five-year goal, Jeff, or are you backing off of that a little now?
No, Tana, we're not backing off at all. I'm just being respectful of the fact that the MLS will have their own timeline based on what we've heard. I think that makes some sense. But at the end of the day, we just have to be humble and just continue to try to build the best USL franchise we can build continue to establish that Cincinnati's a great pro soccer market. And then, you know, again, we have a lot of confidence in our city. And we think that if we do everything the right way, we stand a great shot.
Jeff, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Mark.
FC Cincinnati President and General Manager Jeff Birding. Again, if you'd like to join our conversation, the phone number is 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Chad, do you have any thoughts? One of the things Jeff pointed out was the number of youth soccer players that we have in this area, the amount of soccer talent that we have. So do you have any thoughts on soccer, youth soccer and college programs as feeders for potential pro players?
Well, you know, that's if you're going to have pro players, they're going to have to come from somewhere. So they're going to come from the youth ranks. I'm not the biggest fan of college soccer in terms of player development. But, you know, in America, that's generally the way we do things. You go to high school and then you go to college and you play your ball for those schools. And, you know, a lot of the guys in the MLS get drafted out of college, and the ones who don't end up in leagues like USL and NASL. I would prefer to see professional clubs in the United States start to really develop their own academies, and some of them have them, but I would like them to really start to invest money and to really develop players from a young age. And if soccer is going to be a career path for a player, then they could consider going right out of high school into one of these professional programs and developing that way.
And FC Cincinnati at this point doesn't have its own academy, right?
No, they don't. I don't think, and wisely so, I don't think they want to start competing with the youth organizations that are around. I think that would turn off a potential large portion of their fan base. So yeah. I think that was a good move on their part.
They have, however, partnered with many of the youth organizations, you know, Cup, Cincinnati United, a lot of those to, A, get those fans early while they're young, get them partnered in. You know, they send their players out into the communities. They send them to their camps, their practices, things like that. Also, they are doing discounted tickets to get those teams to come in. I think if you wear your jersey, you get in for like a buck or something. I might be wrong on my numbers there, but lots of programs to kind of build that support young. So if nothing else, you're building your fan base.
Charlie, the one question I've neglected to ask is, how is the team doing?
they're doing very well.
Are they?
They're third in their division right now. I talked to Chad before the season began. I said, hey, you know, what do you think? And I think we were talking about maybe fourth or something like that, but they've gone on this little run where I think it's 8 matches unbeaten now. So they're doing really well. They're only a couple points behind first place Louisville City, who they play in a couple weeks. So if you really wanted to have a start and make an impact, obviously with bringing fans and everything, you got to have a good team, and they've had that.
Yeah, and what's the big game that's coming up? The one that somebody
Crystal
mentioned.
Palace.
Crystal Palace. Thank you, Tana. What? Tell us about that.
That's going to be, I think, on July 16th. Crystal Palace. They play in the English Premier League.
Oh my gosh! Okay, so this is big.
They're the runners up in the FA Cup this year. Unfortunately, weren't able to win it. Otherwise, you really would have been seeing a lot of people traveling here. They're still expecting Crystal Palace fans from around the country probably to come in to see their team, and I believe they've already sold 10,000 tickets for that match alone.
And that's an international friendly.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. This is Crystal Palace is also going to play an MLS side while they're here. These are the kind of games that Major League Soccer teams are trying to get. I mean, it's a bigger name than who Columbus Crew were able to bring in this year for their international match, in my opinion.
How long does the season go for FC Cincinnati?
Well, it looks like they're going to make the playoffs, so the season's going to run well into September for FC Cincinnati.
Okay. Well, Charlie, Chad, and Tana, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The founder of soccer blog Scratching the Pitch, Chad Hollingsworth, Cincinnati Inquirer contributor Charlie Hatch, and WVXU reporter and digital news editor Tana Weingartner.